Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2475, with a release date of Friday, April 4th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams respond as a deadly earthquake rocks Thailand and Myanmar. In the U.S., Voice of America gets a reprieve, and a Fram-2 spacecraft astronaut enjoys a QSO with her former school. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2475 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
We begin this week with a developing story. A 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck near Mandalay, the second largest city in Myanmar, and rocked the region on February the 28th of March. Hams in Thailand were among those who were called up to help with communications, particularly amid the wreckage in Bangkok. Jason Daniels, VK2 LAW, has the latest.
As the death toll climbed in a number of countries, emergency communication took on paramount importance in the South Asian nations hit by the earthquake. Its strength was felt in Bangkok, Thailand, affecting that city's high-rise buildings. The search for survivors continued beneath the wreckage of one prominent tower that had been toppled while under construction in the city. Jack Ree, Hantongkom, Hotel Sierra 1 Foxtrot Victor Lima, Emergency Communications Director of IARU Region 3, told IARU Region 1's Greg Mossop, Golf Zero Delta Uniform Bravo, that members of the Amateur Society of Thailand have been assisting the government with emergency communications in the city and in the surrounding area, utilizing VHF. The death toll in the region itself was climbing well into the thousands as search and rescue efforts continued. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
We also begin this week with another developing story. Its long run of disseminating news to overseas countries under restrictive regimes may not be over after all for the Voice of America. VOA has succeeded in its court challenge to the U.S. government's decision to dismantle the International News Service. Workers at the VOA were among a number of international news services with the U.S. Agency for Global Media who were told they were being taken off the air and put on administrative leave. Responding to a lawsuit by a group of VOA employees, a Manhattan federal judge acted on March 28th to halt the order that originated from the White House. The U.S. District Court judge called the agency's action a classic case of arbitrary policymaking. Radio Free Asia, another international news organization, is also seeking court action to halt its shutdown. Meanwhile, the news service Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, was spared its own announced shutdown after a different U.S. District Court judge ruled that the continued operation of these news services was in the public interest. Funding has since been restored through the end of the current federal fiscal year. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, has been on the air since the beginning of the Cold War. Even as White House cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration leave the agency's future operations in question, the next generation of amateurs has been training well to keep an eye on dangerous weather for the public. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has that story for us.
This is N0A, November 0 Alpha, calling CQCQ, special event station for severe weather awareness, calling CQ.
If you worked N0A during the last half of March, you were talking with a member of the Skywarn Youth Net, which meets weekly to encourage severe weather monitoring by young hams across the United States. As most hams who are active during severe weather are beginning to age out, groups like this can help encourage a new generation of Skywarn supporters. The net was founded in 2016 by Jim Sellers, N0UAM, who is now a Silent Key, to encourage youth participation in reporting severe weather. Net manager Caleb Sfair, KE0FOE, got his license in 2015 at age 11 and joined the net 2 years later at the encouragement of his father, George, KJ6TQ. Caleb told AR Newsline about the beginning of the Skywarn Youth Net by Sellers.
He was the deputy director of Skywarn in Southwest Missouri. Simply put, he just wanted to have a simple check-in net that young hams would run to give them a chance to practice passing traffic and to try to encourage other youths to participate and then share and learn about basic weather information.
The Skywarn YouthNet uses a system of linked repeaters from various parts of the United States, along with All-Star Link, Echo Link, DMR, and Yaesu Fusion. Meeting on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, the net gives young hams an opportunity to share weather reports and learn more about participating in severe weather activations. Anyone young or old is invited to check in. For more information, you can visit skywarnyouth.net. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The first spacecraft to orbit the Earth via the North and South Poles, the Fram 2, has offered some unprecedented views of both poles and some high-flying ham radio transmissions, just as promised. John Williams, VK4JJW, brings us up to date.
Hours after the launch of the private Fram 2 spacecraft from the U.S. on March 31st, astronaut Robbie Arruga began the space team's scheduled transmissions of SSTV imagery, an exercise conducted as part of a high school and university competition for students. It was, however, a voice contact with the DK0TU Amateur Radio Club at the Technical University of Berlin that was among the Fram 2's earliest QSOs. The brief question-and-answer session from space took place at the university where the German-born astronaut had once been a student herself. Much of the Fram 2's ham radio activity was designed to be SSTV transmissions from space, carrying the four astronauts' views of the polar regions. They were transmitted in fragments, puzzle style, challenging students around the world to piece them together to form a complete picture. The Fram 2 mission is named to honor the Norwegian-built ship Fram that carried researchers on polar explorations in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. This amateur contact, and all transmissions that were to follow, engaged in another form of exploration. In anticipation of the decommissioning of the International Space Station by 2030, hams have been in search of other possible sources for radio contacts from space. To hear the QSO between the astronaut and the students in Berlin, see the link in the text version of this week's script at arnewsline.org. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
An amateur radio operator who gained a following in Western Pennsylvania as a DJ and later the host of conservative talk radio has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Travis Lisk in 3ILS.
Jim Quinn, W3VEX, got his start on the professional side of radio at KQVAM as a top 40 DJ and later with the giant WTAE. In the years that followed, his broadcast career delivered roles as a morning DJ on other music stations during the rise of FM Top 40 radio. Moving later to WPGB-FM, Jim became a co-host of a conservative radio talk show. He was a well-known voice on the air, particularly among Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania listeners. Jim became a silent key on Sunday, March 30th. No cause of death was immediately given. In all, he had more than four decades in commercial radio, from Pennsylvania to Cleveland, to New York City and upstate Buffalo, New York. His amateur radio career lasted even longer, according to his page on QRZ.com. Jim was first licensed as a teenager while living in his native New Jersey. He was 82. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Hams in Arizona are grieving the loss of one of their own, a well-regarded member of the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group. We hear more about him from Ralph Squilacci, KK6-ITB.
It took very little time for Dan Crouch, KF7DC, to find a home with the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group in Arizona. Not long after he got his license in 2012, he found his way there and soon became part of the Mingus Mountain Roundtable. He served as a moderator of the roundtable for many years. Dan became a silent key during the weekend of March 15th. He was a full-time minister for more than 50 years, serving for 20 years at the Fountain of Life Community Church in Prescott Valley. In announcing his death on Facebook, Patrick Brower, N7ATG, vice president of the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group, recalled the prayers and strength Dan was able to provide for others, especially when members of the ham radio community or their families experienced a loss. This is Ralph Squilacci, KK6-ITB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W8WKY repeater in Doylestown, Ohio, on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. local time, right before the weekly SARA Net at 8 p.m. Each year, the Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award receives nominations of promising young hams who truly impress our judges. It is time once again to give them an opportunity at the recognition they deserve. Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States, someone who has talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio. Do you know someone who might qualify to receive this year's honor? Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. Nominations are now open. We are accepting nominations through May 31st. The Antarctic Beacon VP8ADE has gone silent after 46 years. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, gives us those details.
There are no more signals from Victor Papa 8 Alpha Delta Echo on Adelaide Island, the ice-covered island off the Antarctic Peninsula's west coast. The last day on the air for the 28 MHz low-power research beacon was February 21. It was put into service in the summer of 1979 at the British Antarctic Survey Base of Rothera. Its tour of duty was originally supposed to have lasted only 3 years as one part of a research program, according to Lawrence Howell, KL7L, who was the base radio operator at the time. The beacon's collection of critical data on global ionospheric propagation at the F2 layer proved so invaluable that it continued operating for another 4 decades. The beacon shared a small wooden hut with a 1950-era aircraft navigation beacon and with research equipment used for ionospheric D-layer scintillation research used by students of ionospheric researcher Dr. Roy Piggott. VP8ADE was proposed by the Radio Society of Great Britain. It was coordinated with the British Antarctic Survey and with the Falkland Island Radio Regulator. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
There's a vacancy to be filled in the popular Islands on the Air program, and hams who are knowledgeable about IOTA are being encouraged to apply for the volunteer position. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
The Islands on the Air award scheme is in need of an experienced amateur who can serve in the voluntary position of checkpoint for Brazil, a post filled since 2009 by Luciano Sampaio de Souza, PT7WA. However, he has recently informed the board that he now needs to step down. The ham who fills this post must demonstrate knowledge of the IOTA program and rules, have good English proficiency, and possess the ability to process online applications. Interested applicants should send details of the skills they would bring to the task. Email Roger Ballister, G3KMA, at the address that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Applications are due no later than the 21st of April. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The names included in the CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame represent the best of the best that ham radio has had to offer through the years. Originated by CQ Magazine, the Hall of Fame is now overseen by Ham Gallery, which selects amateurs with impressive personal operating records, as well as achievements that have enhanced the lives and experiences of their fellow amateur radio operators. Inductees may be living or silent keys, and they are chosen via nomination. The nominating window is drawing to a close. You have until the 15th of April to submit the names of your nominees to Tom Roscoe, K8CX, using email address k8cx@hamgallery.com. That's k8cx@hamgallery, that's one word, .com. Notifications will be sent out by the 30th of April as to whether the nomination was accepted or not. See the website hamgallery.com for more details. In the world of DX, Flavio IW2NEF is operating holiday style as 8Q7EF from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013, until the 10th of April. He is using digital modes and sideband on 40 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Koji JI1LET and Takashi JA1UII will be on the air as JD1BOI and JD1BON, respectively, from Chichijima, IOTA number AS031, and Ogasawara from the 8th through the 17th of April. They will be using CW sideband and FT8 and FT4 on 160 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. The Amateur Radio Society of Moldova is using the call sign ER100IARU to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the IARU and can be heard on the air through the 30th of April. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Jim, K6EI, and Scott, KK6IK, are on the air as FJ-K6EI and FJ-KK6IK from St. Barthelme, IOTA number NA146, until the 12th of April. They will be using CW, FT8, and FT4 on 80 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Amateur Radio Newsline's own Ed Durant, DD5LP, will be active as 5B-VK2JI-P from Cyprus, IOTA number AS004, holiday style, between April 6th and 20th. He plans to activate HEMA, POTA, and SOTA sites, with even the chance of a BOTA, that's beaches on the air, activation. Ed will be using 20 watts of power sideband on 40 through 10 meters, but expects contacts into Europe, North America, and Oceania. Watch each of the scheme's spotting pages to see when Ed is on. If you work Ed, let him know that you're an AR Newsline listener. Community protests against unwanted towers are often in the news. In this week's final story, however, we visit a community in the state of Maine that has been very sorry indeed to say goodbye to one particular radio tower. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us why.
American science fiction writer Stephen King is author of, among many things, the Dark Tower series of books. Now, another tower that used to be his, an AM radio tower more than 400 feet tall, has gone dark. It was formerly used by WZON 620 AM in Maine, one of three of the region's radio stations that used to be owned by the writer. The tower had stood since 1937, when it was first used by WLBZ, the radio station's call sign in its earliest days. Citing the financial struggles of three area radio stations he owned in Maine, King announced last year they were going to end their run. WKIT, known for its classic rock format, still is on the air, having been saved at the last minute after being bought by a media partnership known as the Rock Lobster Radio Group. WZON-AM and WZLO-FM went silent on the 31st of December. However, recent local news reports say that both stations will return under new ownership. A company called Mixed Maine Media was buying them from King, along with an FM translator. WZON's tower, however, still had to go. Local residents' affection for this long-time familiar site drew them out to the scene of the demolition on Wednesday, March 26th. The prospect of the station's return, however, did cheer them. And so, when WZON played its final song last December before turning off its transmitter, its words rang true, but only for the tower. The song was REM's The End of the World as We Know It. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org, and each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to ABC.AU News, Amateur News Daily, Associated Press, David BR, K7DB, Facebook 425DX Bulletin, Greg Mossop, G0DUB, Inside Radio, Jack Ree, Hunticom, HS1FVL, Lawrence Howell, KL7L, Patrick Bauer, N7ATG, QRZ.com, Radio Amateur Society of Thailand, Radio Inc., Radio World, Shortwave Radio DE, Space.com, Trib Live, WABI, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you are listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.